Welcome to Talking Stack, MarTech Advisor's weekly news podcast. Join us as MarTech experts David Robb, Anand Talker, Amit Varshney, and editor Chitra Iyer talk about the things that matter this week in MarTech.
Welcome back to the Talking Stack. Today, we're talking with Akhilesh Tiwari, who's the Vice President of Enterprise Application Services at Tata Consultancy, which is one of the largest software consultancies in the world. And we're going to talk to Akhilesh about customer experiences and how we could get technology, data, and creatives to work together for that winning customer experience delivery. And then later in the show, we're also talking about the wave of big tech CDP announcements, as well as Forrester's new B2B CDP wave. And we'll wrap up with a quick take on what Facebook's new digital currency announcement might mean to us. Welcome to the show, Akhilesh.
Thank you, Chitra. First, good morning, and thank you all for inviting me to Talking Stack podcast.
Akhilesh, TCS is a big place, so could you take a quick minute to just tell us what it is that you do at TCS?
I look after our business for enterprise application services. So we offer our customers services to maximize their return on investment in third-party software like SAP, Salesforce, Oracle, Adobe, Microsoft Dynamics, and the like. And we see that now customers moving more and more to buy these applications and on cloud, preferably moving from CapEx to OpEx model. So we're seeing tremendous growth in our business of enterprise application services.
Right. So Akhilesh, let's get into this conversation about customer experience. And let's start with your opinion on why is there a gap between customer experiences, as we put it in the definition, and what actually is delivered to the customer?
Yeah, good question, Chitra. So while customer experience has traditionally been focused on the cool capabilities on the front end, the piece the customer actually sees, in my view, it has to be looked at from a holistic perspective, because looking at only the front end piece is a very limited view of what customer experience can mean. In customer's journey with an organization, customers goes through multiple interactions in that touch various part of an organization, starting with finance, billing, supply chain, customer service, sales, etc. And sometimes it goes beyond the borders of the organizations to the partners and suppliers. So looking at it just from the interaction perspective is a bit limited. I'll share an example. Very recently, I went to one of my favorite stores and wanted some clothing of my size I couldn't find. So they said, go and order online. And it was last week. I ordered online, and next day, about 24 hours after that, I got an email which says, we've received your order. Now, in this day and age, if you receive an email after 24 hours of putting the order, you expect to receive information about shipment. So there was the disconnect, the gap you talked about, that while the people who are looking at making the process very transparent, the backend systems are not supporting that process as much. So it's become challenging for the CMOs to make it in sync customer experience where all the backend systems support what their end intention is, to make it a frictionless interaction with the customer.
How can CMOs go beyond marketing as CX owners to bridge all of these gaps?
See, while CX lies with the CMOs or marketer's office, I see the CMOs have to now look at approach it from two parts. One, go beyond their silo and educate their colleagues and the other departments what the customer experience means, and then have an integrated approach to address customer experience. And the second part is also raise the urgency within the organization to modernize their systems so that what the CMOs are looking to provide to their customers in terms of a brand experience, which wants the customers to come back to them, is supported by the backend systems, which we see constantly, implemented in a very disintegrated manner. The marketer's office is working on just the interactions with the customers, while the rest of the company is driven by different KPIs. So somewhere that alignment of the KPIs have to happen with the marketer's KPIs to ensure that you're providing a superlative customer experience.
Do you think then this is where marketers need to spend more of their time, aside from the silo of particularly their own data and their own tools, but start to explore how the rest of the organization works and start to educate them? Is that what you're kind of getting to?
Oh, absolutely. They need to get out of their silo and educate their colleagues on looking at the customer experience holistically. Just keeping me informed is not enough. What impact, if they put themselves in my situation as a customer, how would they feel? And could they do anything to improve with that experience collectively? In this case, a whole lot. And if they looked at the situation collectively, it would be a no-brainer to fix those gaps very quickly. So these cross-functional teams across different divisions of an organization are really critical for marketers to be successful. Otherwise, they will be successful in reaching me out, keeping me informed, but they're not getting the effect that they want to generate.
Yeah, if we had a dollar for every time someone told marketing to get out of their silo, I think we'd be. But, that's an interesting point. Of course, all the cross-functional, plugging all the gaps between functions itself is one of the key tasks to building out that sort of frictionless CX, of course.
Well, I wonder if you're seeing CX departments that are separate from marketing departments. That came up recently in some of the research that I was looking at, and they actually were saying that marketers were actually less likely to be in charge of the overall experience or even the data unification than a separate CX department. Are you running into that as its own group?
David, we see people experimenting with different models because, at the end, CX is representation of your entire company. Right. So, the CEO should be the ultimate CX officer, if you ask me. So people are doing different experiments, but I think the natural place for CX lies with the CMO because they are, in a way, in the front end of the interaction with the customers. They have the most comprehensive understanding of the customer, and then they have also the tools to disseminate that understanding to the rest of the organization. So while people are experimenting with different formulations, the whole company has to sort of imbibe and adopt the customer experience culture, and it cannot be driven by one department. From in a MarTech perspective, I see Adobe, Salesforce, Oracle, SAP, all these big companies are bringing out a lot of innovation, and then a number of startups who are also now bringing in new methods of achieving this data-driven creativity, where you collect a lot of data and combine it with the creative assets that you have, and ensure your customers are able to really experience the brand the way you want them to experience.
Personalization is, again, quite a debated subject. Would you say there's a difference or there's a gap in how customers interpret personalization versus how marketers think of it or approach it?
We were reading recent Gartner's CMO spend survey. So an average of 14.2% of their budgets is being spent on personalization, which is a lot of money. But the effort on personalization, I think where it's lacking today is understanding of the customer. So because the understanding of the customer is quite limited, depending on the data sources that the CMOs have on their customers, their ability to personalize their experience also becomes very limited. The ability of these companies to personalize to the extent of a transaction is what is, I think, lacking. While they have a good view of an individual, bringing it down to the interaction of that particular transaction is where the game of personalization will be.
Great. So in that context, then let's talk about data-driven creativity. You just mentioned it. What is it really, and what role does technology have to play in the concept of data-driven creativity?
You know, there are two sides of a coin. I mean, data is very hard, very analysis-based, and creativity is more about intuition, empathy, storytelling. In today's digital world, you know, we talk a lot about technology and data, but at the end of the day, we are all humans and respond much better to stories, to appealing imagery. So we've seen a lot of examples where some of our customers are able to combine these two with a very intelligent data layer on top of their creative assets. They're able to combine these two and really appeal to the empathetic part of humans. I think that's where the secret sauce is. Well, the companies which are able to do that, they are seeing a lot of success.
If a company wants to explore this further, what technology, what tools, what connections do they need to start thinking about?
And there are the number of tools and technologies that can help you do that. But I think beyond the tools and technologies comes how you're going to apply these tools and technologies. And you don't need very sophisticated tools. These are very simple tools. With AIs and Advent, you can put very simple technical solutions to increase your throughput. This credit card company I was talking about, they put out just simple changes in the colors and the fonts and the applications they put out. And with AI, they're able to online adjust combinations of colors and fonts and the layout of their application and increase the throughput by about 2.5%, which is a big increase given you know how the whole industry of credit card applications work.
Great. So modernizing backend systems, leveraging data-driven creativity to really create those empathetic human customer experiences, that's what this sort of alignment is all about. But speaking of modernizing, we've had big news this week with Salesforce, Adobe, and Oracle all making customer data platform-related announcements. And then Forrester releasing its first ever B2B CDP wave, where they named Lattice Engines and LeadSpace as leaders of the pack. So we're getting into our report and news section of the week. And I'm going to start with asking David, because I'm really curious about what he thinks of Lattice Engines and LeadSpace being named as leaders in the B2B CDP space.
Why they picked those two particular vendors, one assumes that they went through their analysis, which they show quite clearly, and they rated them the best. There were some interesting feedback within the CDP community, as you might imagine, about Forrester's particular choices. And, you know, we don't like to criticize our fellow analysts. There's a little, you know, honor among thieves there that doesn't allow us to do that. But one of the vendors did point out to me, and I think legitimately, that the particular criteria that were used in that report were quite broad. They included things like personalization and analytics, which we argue are sort of not core to a CDP. Some CDPs do it. Some CDPs don't. Many companies have other tools for for those things, and they're not necessarily looking to get that from a CDP. So although scope might be one of the things you care about, it's not equally relevant to all customers. So, you know, there are always issues in these reports about, oh, who's the leader? What does it mean to be a leader? And the notion, the implicit notion that you can even say there is a leader or there's a ranking of the vendors kind of implies everybody has the same requirements, and some vendors do a better job than others of meeting those requirements. But of course, the reality is some people, you know, people's requirements differ greatly. Again, some need analytics, some don't need analytics. So you have to kind of always take these reports and think, well, are the criteria that they're using here relevant to me? And then again, very much, you know, to the credit of the analysts, they show you how each vendor ranked on each criteria. So if you want to re-rank, reweight the criteria, they're giving you the tools to do that.
If you went back to the core of what the CDP does, which is really the data piece, right, the integration of that data, let me just connect that to the news from Salesforce, also announcing that addition of CDP capabilities to Customer 360, right? Have Salesforce's acquisitions, many acquisitions in the past, actually become a barrier to this kind of the core data integration that is needed from a CDP itself?
Well, certainly the more tools you have to integrate, the greater the integration challenge. It's a problem, yeah, of course, that all the stacks have, or all the cloud suites have, because they've all been built through acquisition. I think the MuleSoft acquisition was useful for them. I think the Datarama acquisition was probably more useful. Datarama really is a CDP. It has been used both before and after acquisition more for marketing campaign analysis than the actual customer analysis, but it has the capability to do the customer level unification of the CDP. And I think Salesforce kind of, you know, went into the closet and looked around and said, oh, hey, we got one of these things here sitting on the shelf, and we have a lot of customers who want to buy it, so let's dust it off and maybe, you know, paint it a new color or something, and we'll if nothing else, speed up the development of our own product. I don't think they're just relabeling Datarama, but they did tell me that, you know, a lot of the team from Datarama has been very essential in building out the new CDP product. So they're taking good use of what they have. So there are some pluses to acquisition. It's not all just, it makes your life more complicated. It does give you some resources that let you do things well.
Yeah, so Bobby Jania, who's the Vice President of Product at Salesforce, was in a conversation with our friend Brent Leary from CRM Players at the recent Salesforce Connections event. And listeners can actually view this clip of the video in our show notes as well. But basically in that conversation, he said customers want, you know, the feedback they got from customers was that customers want all of their data in one place. They want to be able to segment, target, and scale seamlessly from that one place. And that one place, obviously, according to him, is Salesforce, right? And especially given that they're adding on to it those predictive capabilities that come with Einstein, and then, of course, their customer 360 degree itself, customer 360 itself. What do you think, David, let me start with you on this one. What do you think are the practical challenges that customers should be aware of when it's going to come to making this a reality, being able to bring that free that flow of data across, making Salesforce sort of the hub of all that data flow?
Well, I think there are a couple of things to look at here. One is the importance of the data being pulled into one place. That's something that Salesforce didn't originally think they needed to do, and nor did Adobe. They said, oh no, we'll just give you a common ID and the data will sit out there in the source systems, and we won't assemble it in one place. We'll just pull in and generate a profile on the fly when we need one and then throw it away after it's done. So that doesn't work. And anybody who's ever tried that knew it didn't work. So it was kind of odd that these guys kept insisting on it for so long, but they eventually came around and recognized, I think, as the Salesforce guy said in that interview with Brent, you know, because their customers were telling that they had to do it that way. Whether the data needs to sit in Salesforce or not, bearing in mind, again, that, you know, there's no such thing as sitting in Salesforce. You sit in Salesforce Sales Cloud, you sit in Salesforce Marketing Cloud, you sit in this Salesforce product, that Salesforce product, they all have their own database. And the reason that you need your CDP, which in may or may not be a Salesforce CDP, is you need to, again, pull it all out of those systems and put it in one system. Does that have to be a system that's owned or sold to you by Salesforce? Well, not necessarily. The whole notion of the CDP is that it can take the data from any place. So you should be able to plug in a Salesforce CDP and pull in data from an Adobe email system or Oracle data management platform or whatever. And they all indeed say they can. Now, the practical thing, to answer your question about being practical, is what do they have connectors for? Because I don't really want to build those connectors from scratch. Yeah, they'll give me an API and they'll give me the opportunity to do that. But I really want to be able to push a button and have it all mapped out for me. So that's the one thing to look at, is what tools do I have? What tools does the CDP vendor have pre-built connectors for that are going to save me the trouble of building those? If I can find somebody who has a lot of connectors, then that's going to be probably the one that I find most appealing to me, assuming that, you know, they do all the other things I need to do well. So obviously the vendors are all going to build connectors to their own products first. So chances are it's going to be easier to connect the Salesforce CDP to the Salesforce email system and the Salesforce DMP and the Salesforce CMS, if they have a CMS, whatever products they have, they're going to build those connectors first. And then, so as a practical matter, you're likely to do that. But, you know, you don't have to do that. Everybody knows, certainly the third party CDPs, the ones who are not owned by a big company, all build those connectors because they know their customers are looking for it too. So certainly we would hope that people would not limit their consideration set to the CDP that happens to come from whatever marketing cloud they work with.
Because so much of the data around customers in B2B is qualitative in nature, it's about interactions of the salesperson and multiple people on the panel and everything, do you think that's where someone like a Salesforce might score with their AI and Einstein module?
It's not about the AI helping you. The AI just is useful when you have the data to match it, right? The CDPs, the clouds. The opportunity to have data is one thing, but the way to be able to organize it so that AI can use it is another. There are just a very few companies in the world that understand how to use AI to just basically go into a raw lake of information and then come up with a structure and insights out of it. So, to summarize about CDPs or the customer data and where it comes from, like, I think the three challenges will end up being is democratizing and generating the context and education of that data, right? And then there's the, you know, understanding how to do something with that information, not just having it. Or it'll be a great step to have all the integrations and all the connectors and everything, all the data piling into one place. But then what do you do with this? This is part of the reason why, you know, these companies have larger ecosystems and why potentially CDPs, you know, might be more useful in them, and that's what they want to continue to perpetuate. The second part would be, you know, the other challenge would be, how do you organize the organization so that the feedback goes back into the ecosystem to improve the experience and insights? Because you can have the data and orchestrate one time, but if you're not getting any feedback and that's not coming back into the system in some form or fashion, then you're not improving on what's going on. And no amount of AI is going to support that. And then the last piece is, and I think we've had this as a theme for the rest, you know, for today's show. And, you know, of course, I always talk about it as the connecting with the other parts of the organization. The great story that Akita should shared with us is you've got one part of the organization doing their marketing deal, and then you've got the back end operations not really understanding or a little bit more disconnected from what's going on. If you want to have a true good customer experience, how do you ensure that you're all on the same page? And that's going to be a big challenge for CDPs and a big opportunity for marketers to step outside of their own realm. This is what I mentioned to David a long time ago, is CDPs are the precipice for marketers to go beyond marketing. And this is the way to do it, because if customers are centric to everything that to the success of a business moving forward, then this is the way to make that happen, or this is one of those ways that'll force them to do it if they're not already thinking that way.
Yeah. Speaking of putting things eloquently, we had this comment sent in by Jeff Lunsford, who's the CEO of Tealium, and he basically called it data freedom. Okay, saying that like a neutral data layer allows data to flow freely across the organization, and I agree, right? And data flow and integration, it's not a need that's going to go away anytime soon. Even users of an all-in stack, something like what Salesforce is promising, really, David, and you mentioned this last week, even users of such a mythical all-in stack will at some point need to connect to several other mission-critical platforms and, you know, work as efficiently in a multi-vendor environment as they do in that sort of all-in bubble of their own, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely that's the case. And, you know, it was interesting, again, there were three big CDP announcements this week, one from Salesforce about their product, one from Adobe, sort of kind of about their product, more blog posts than official announcements, but they were definitely, you know, wanting to be in the conversation because it was a hot week. And the third one was Oracle talking about not product at all, but about relationships with consultancies, Accenture and Capgemini, talking specifically to Anand's point about the amount of work that's involved to make this stuff happen. It's not just the technology. The technology is simply the tool that you use, but they were, you know, setting that these consultancies were now setting up practices to work with marketers to figure out what to do with this. And I had a little chat with them on the side about the announcement, and they were saying, you know, there's technical work that we the system integrator have to do, but it's really about teaching marketers what to do with these things, how to take advantage of them. That's where they actually saw most of their effort was going to be spent. So it's exactly that. It's great to have the data flowing back and forth freely and like wine, but it's not enough. It has to really be used, you know, just like wine. It has to be used properly in order to get some result.
We've That's integrated right. wine into the conversation. I love it. Fantastic.
You think I'm drinking coffee here.
With that, and before we wrap up for the week, we did poll the panel on Facebook's new cryptocurrency launch. I know I mentioned it at the start, which, you know, as per MTA editor Marilyn Pereira's coverage of the announcement, will alter the advertising options available on Facebook quite dramatically on the whole Facebook ecosystem. And it's also going to, of course, help Facebook advertisers apparently track every proverbial penny of their customers' spend. But the general consensus here at the Talking Stack is to take a wait and watch approach. Or, as David puts it,
you can hold off on a little while. This is not a bandwagon any marketer needs to worry about jumping onto quite this week.
Right. I think you get the message there. And with that, it's a wrap on the Talking Stack. If you have thoughts on the Big Tech CDP announcements or the Forrester Wave report, we'd love to hear them on LinkedIn or Twitter. So please tag us. And also please like us and follow us on iTunes and SoundCloud if you think the Talking Stack makes for interesting listening. We'll see you all next week.
Thanks for joining us. See you next week with our take on the big news in the MarTech world. Log into MarTechAdvisor.com for more expert commentary on all things MarTech.